I'll play it one more time. Well, now we joined a whole bunch of cities. Welcome. How's your day been going? And how's your week been going? Awful? You must be doing something right. The devil's alive and well, and he never lets up. One of these days, I'm going to finally print the Gene Scott version of the Bible with the King James wide margin, my notes in the margin. Take all my old Bibles and translate all my notes over the years. And there's one note in that temptation passage of Jesus where it says that Satan withdrew for a season. It gives the impression that Jesus just wore him down. He backed off to rest. That's false. That's not what the Greek says. Too cold in here. The Greek didn't say it's too cold. My own feelings told me that. The Greek has it. He backed off like a boxer backs off looking for an opening when he's been blocked. You drop your guard and wham. He never lets up. The only way to deal with the devil is whoop him. Good old Southern talk. You don't just beat him, you whoop him. I like Southern talk. In fact, I'm told that Tammy Baker would have been better off to use Southern talk. She wins battles by licking them. You better whoop them. Better to whoop them. I believe you ought to whoop the devil. I don't want to lick him. I want to whoop him. Whoop him good. In fact, my granddad used to say, whoop him. You need to whoop the devil. You know how you whoop him? You resist him. And you know how you resist him? Faith. Just start some faithing work going. I was right in the middle of taking a little reprieve today, really enjoying myself. I got all the, not all of them, but some of the stuff from Blues Alley in Memphis, Tennessee. I think that was wonderful of Paul and Marty and the owners of Blues Alley to throw a party for me. They had a big old giant pyramid-shaped cake with a saxophone on it. Place was packed to standing room only. And they sent me a videotape of the whole thing. Happy birthday, Doc. Cousin Bubba, their attorney, in his comedy routine, read a poem to me. I was happily enjoying that for a moment, thinking how nice it is for people to do that. And then I got the bad news of the accident of John, who was one of my interns, the chief engineer for Channel 30 out here now, who fell 22 feet on concrete today. He's in surgery now, and they're trying to save one kidney with multiple fractures and injuries. Well, we prayed. I refuse to let anything, even fallen comrades on the battlefield, allow us to give one inch to the devil. I don't like the defensive. I mean, you know, I figure when he gets you down, it just gives you a better angle to kick him in the vital parts. Whoop him good. So we're going to move right on tonight. I'll leave earlier than normal, because I'd like to be there when the surgery's completed after 4 or 5 hours, because it'll be long surgery. My dad's there, and Glenn Chambers are there. We're going to keep whooping the devil. When I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves, they trouble me. Come on. Give me a key that's somewhere close to that, Sam, will you? Just find your own, I'll find your own. That ain't even close, but that's good enough. When I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves, they cover me. Fell on Jesus. He bore it. And that the message that was encased in the stars and been told through the centuries, the wrath of God revealed against all unrighteousness, was funneled onto Jesus. No spillover. All put on him. And we're the body of Christ. the wall of partition that was between us and God because of our sins broke. And we've become the habitation of God through His Spirit, Ephesians 2 says. As such, we become His body. The wrath of God's not going to fall on His body again. That's why there's a rapture. He lifts us up before the wrath of God is poured on this earth, the last few years of the great tribulation. And I'm out here telling people about it. And the last two, Sunday's service and Sunday's festival, has stirred up a Pharisaical hornet's nest. I mean, I've been in cities for months. The stations have been overwhelmed with positive calls. All of a sudden after Sunday, a nationwide movement unleashed. We gotta get Scott off TV. And people that probably have never heard me have been organized to call the stations and say, get him off. Now, it isn't succeeding because managers like me. By the way, you know about Indianapolis? We're going back on a station many times larger. I think you want me to keep pressing on. For a year, we've negotiated with Chicago. We began Sunday through Friday on Chicago, Illinois, Sunday night. That's the number three market in America. But there is an organized attack because I dared to tell people, you can go to the restroom in peace. I dared to tell them that God and His Son offer unmerited favor and peace. You know what that proves? A lot of people with the appearance, horns like a lamb, that look outwardly as though they are spokesmen for Jesus, are getting their message from the dragon. And when God's spokesman comes along and says you can be free, tells the wondrous message, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, they go bananas. Now, my question is, do you people of courage in every city that I'm in, they're not an exception. Every one of you in the cities that I'm in that are glad that I'm in your city, I don't want to specify lest some city be left out. You need to make a decision right now. How important is it to you for me to stay in your city? The managers know what's happening. When you get a big crush of calls on Monday and Tuesday, somebody's organized them on Sunday. Then they dwindle down by Friday, and then they pick up again on Monday and Tuesday. Every city that I'm in, you need to make the decision right now. You're going to call your station tomorrow. If the line's busy, you're going to keep calling until you get through. And tell them how much you appreciate having me on the station. You see, these negative bondage makers aren't going to win because there are too many people who like light and freedom once it's shown to them. Now, the problem these people have with me is I can read Greek better than they can. Know as much scripture as they do. believe in God as fiercely as they do, want to serve Him as unqualifiedly as they do, but like Paul, have decided, do I seek to please men or God? I'm going to set people free. I'm going to tell them God's not against them, and that He wants to give them a gift. And they don't have to earn it before or after receiving it. All they got to do is keep faithing. Now, I don't care what's happened to you, what I said to you Sunday, and it's not original with me, is still true. There ain't nothing going to happen to any of you, me or you, any of us today, that me and the Lord can't handle. Don't let Satan see your fear. Learn to smile through all your tears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. You must be faithful all the way. Will be worth it all someday. 'Cause it's all gonna be over after a while. Let's just keep on making them mad. Let's go to the book of Galatians tonight. Go to Galatians. You know, ain't nothing as painful to a pervert as being exposed for what he really is. That's what the perverts want to do. They want to drill little holes in you. You having trouble getting the right angle there? Of you and hold your feet to the fire ever after. Yes. Paul an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now, is there any question but what this is a message to the churches? Now, if you want to limit it to the churches of Galatia, that's all right with me. That's better exegesis than some do. But there are truths that can be generally applied when you find that he says the same thing to others. There's a reason why God had Paul write 2/3 of the New Testament. Let's go look at old James. He made such a contribution, he's hard to find. I think I tore him out of my Bible, so I have to make sure that this is a... Go to page 275. James. I need a little more microphone. James, particularly on this subject. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got too much mic now. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be interesting, you do what I did. Just go back to page 228 and sort of fold it down the middle like that, like I'm doing here. And let's read the two salutations, two greetings, the two introductions to these two epistles. You know, you really need somebody on TV to sort it out for you. I wonder how many of you heard on Channel 30 today, the preacher here in Los Angeles that was interpreting the very same verse that I preached on a week ago Sunday in Daniel. Thank God you weren't listening. Now he had 483 years of the 69 weeks of Daniel take you right up to the baptism of Jesus, 27 A.D. I won't bother with that one as to whether or not Jesus was baptized in 27 A.D. Then he was crucified in the middle of the week, 31 and a half A.D. And the end of the 70th week is when Stephen is stoned. And he's having somebody read for him, some little lady sitting on a couch. And he came right out and said it, just like I told you Sunday. The prince that will come. That's Messiah. We'll make a covenant in the middle of the week. The abolition of sacrifices. Then he goes to the passage where the veil was rent from top to bottom and went into a long exhortation on how that Jesus' death abolished all sacrifice. Of course, I guess he hasn't read in the Bible, they will keep the Feast of the Tabernacle and offer sacrifices for 1,000 years through the millennium. Tell those poor people not to obey God during the millennium and offer no sacrifices. That's why I'm telling you, no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. You just jump around, and they love to take pictures of a single verse as though it improves TV. And, you know, you just go from verse to verse, and after all, the avalanche, you know. One was plucked off this tree. You know, they pull a plum off of a plum tree and an apple off an apple tree and a peach off a peach tree and tell you they're all three a watermelon and throw them at you. And after a while, you know, it just looks like a mass of fruit. The veil being rent was not a symbol of the abolition of sacrifice. It was a symbol of access to God. Sacrifices were not abolished. They'll be renewed during the millennium. And the Jews themselves will, with knowledge, teach during the millennium as they carry a witness to all the world that must come into the Feast of the Tabernacles or be struck with a plague if they don't. The meaning of those sacrifices as true preachers of the gospel now teach through the type the fulfilled meaning of those sacrifices, because they become dramatic illustrations of the wondrous truth of what Christ has done. But, you know, I was listening with one of my men. I says, that's damnable heresy. To equate Jesus the Christ with Antichrist the Prince, notwithstanding the fact the history was bad, the counting of the years was bad, and the abandonment of the Jewish calendar was unconscionable. You know, you need a voice to straighten out all this mess. There's some real ignorance being peddled. And they say it so pontifically. You know, they draw their little diagrams of error and screen their little verses of hodgepodge. You need to learn to gestalt God's book. And the first law of biblical interpretation, it means what it says. And there isn't a text without context. What did Paul say? Paul, an apostle, one sent, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, unto the churches of Galatia. And what did James say? James, a servant of God. And of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had nothing to go on but those two verses, God sent Paul. James, just a servant. Insignificant? Not to me it isn't. Paul wrote to the churches. Who did James write to? To the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. Greetings. Who do you want to listen to? The one sent from God, writing to the churches? Or the crabby servant, writing to the 12 tribes, and by that very designation, letting his bias pour through? He didn't really, no matter what they said, he let Paul go to the Gentiles. But if they wouldn't convert and circumcise to a Judaistic version of Christianity, he wasn't too interested in them. That ought to tell you enough. Let's go back to Paul for a moment. I'll return to James. Grace be unto you, Paul said, and peace. James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I'll be right back.
Preachers.
Now, we've joined a whole bunch of cities. And I'm going to say again, what I said earlier. I've taught on everything from the pyramids to reincarnation. To cigar smoking, to leaf eating ants in Brazil, to bird's nest soup, to Atlantis, to demonology, to sleeping walruses, to separated eels, to the stars. But I've never worked anyone up to the degree I've worked them up this week, teaching on grace and peace. I mean, it's as though the whole church world has decided to annihilate me for daring to tell anybody, grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and you can go to the toilet in peace. Without some legalistic, pharisaical, judgmental Christian spying on you. Boy, has that made them mad. And you know, I have friends in every camp. And I received the message today that a nationwide grassroots effort has been unleashed, analogous to what was unleashed during the political campaign, to target certain politicians that they disagreed with and get them out of office. There's been a national telephone brigade unleashed to get narrow-minded pastors in every city they can find to unleash a telephone attack to get me off of every station that I'm on. Now, I have news for them. I'm going on Honolulu and Chicago. Another station in New York City, and another station in Los Angeles. And my troops are going to be unleashed. I believe the management's not fooled. They know what's happening. When you're a month and years in a city, and all of a sudden a big negative bunch of calls are unleashed, you ask yourself, where were they when he was here the last several months and years? I have started on a subject the church doesn't want you to know about. I have become to the East Berlin Wall churches of traditional Christianity, Radio Free America. Yeah. But boy, have they unleashed it. Now, can I count on the stations I'm in? Every one of you, in the sound of my voice, and there can be no exceptions, because that's what they're doing with the negative crowd. If there are three of you in the home, then make three calls. Every single individual, right now, you make up your mind. You're going to call information. You're going to get the name of your station. Don't ask me to give it over the air to all the stations. You can find the name of this and the phone number of the station, the business office, the station you're watching. And if you're watching on a cable, but it's carrying a local television station, then call the station, not the cable company. Every person wants me to stay in their town, no exceptions. I want you to call your station this week. If they're busy, you keep calling till you get through. And tell them how badly you want Gene Scott to stay in your city. Every one of you. What I ought to do is tell all my 25 million listeners nationwide, each time a city starts getting too many negative calls, just give the number of that station, tell all 25 million of them nationwide to call. Just dial direct. But we don't have to do that. You call in the city that you're in, whatever station you're watching, you call them and say, don't let the negative rednecks drive out this breath of fresh air. We're here too. And we want this voice in our city. We got enough of the rest. You got that? Now, what they don't like is me teaching on Galatians. Too hot in here now. Paul, an apostle, sent by God. We were contrasting that with James's opening. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Look how James opened. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. What's Paul's message sent by God to tell the churches? Grace, unmerited favor be to you. And peace. Cessation of againstness from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. What's James's message? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Paul says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What's James say? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have perfect work. Let patience complete itself, literally, that ye may be complete and entire, wanting nothing, not even grace. No, you know, don't need anything, friend. Wanting nothing. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What do you want? Come on now. Which do you want the most? Patience and wisdom, or grace and peace? Now, I'd like to have wisdom. And I know what patience is. Literally, the word in the Greek is endurance. I ain't faulting it. And I'm telling you, once you get the Holy Spirit in you, God's gift, because of your faith, that Holy Spirit in you helps you endure and helps you face the divers temptations and gives you joy in all of that. But James was hung up on the cart before the horse. I believe James went to heaven. I believe he didn't get nearly the royal treatment he expected. I believe James was truly a servant of God. He's like a hard-shelled Baptist. You can't change them overnight. Like some of us. Traditions die hard. Particularly when we have worked so many years to perfect our performance. And then to be told it ain't counting for so much. You know, it's like carrying a wheelbarrow full of German money during the Depression and discovering a whole wheelbarrow full of money that used to buy bank buildings, won't buy a loaf of bread. You bring a whole truckload of money. I'm talking literal. I mean, you figure payment for a house in double trillions. That's the way poor old James is going to stand at the bar of God. Traditions die hard. Look where he starts. No wonder the church died at Jerusalem. What a message. As the starting point. I mean, this is the starting point, friends. Now, I want all you folks there in Memphis and Nashville and New York and Texas and Oklahoma, Portland and Kansas, Idaho and Mississippi, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let her work herself out, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Well, now I'm going to deal with that one later on. Now, that's where we'd have been as a church if them servants of God and Jesus Christ had had their way. Thank God he called a man named Paul and sent him to Arabia and taught him and didn't let him get ruined and then sent him to the churches. You say, are you postulating some potential conflict between the James point of view and the Paul point of view? You got it. You see, muddy thinkers for years drive intelligent people out of the church. Well, there can't be a conflict between James and Paul. They're both in the Bible, not till the 4th century. Didn't have the problem until the Catholic Church had a council with its infallibility. decided to put old James there equal with Paul, based on the fact that he was an apostle and he wrote it. I'm telling you, there's a conflict. And it's not resolved by muddying your thinking. It's resolved by deciding, based upon the whole book of God, which one was right on the issue. There ain't been a preacher in 1,600 years with the guts to tell you what I'm telling you right now. It's far better. It's safer to insult the intelligence of intelligent people by reconciling the irreconcilable with poetic phrases of meaningless union. I just uttered such a phrase. Than to gutsily say,